This is a Mont Bold Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
A little bit further, if you've got your Bibles, can you turn to Matthew, please, chapter 13. I was away from church for 1 week. I went to visit my mum and my sister in Perth, and it was wonderful. Had a great time. It's really bizarre. You think I'm enough? It's really bizarre being around other people who are exactly like me. I think God knew what he was doing when he put us all in different states. My one sister's in Queensland, one's in Western Australia, and I'm in Victoria, because I don't know whether you'd cope with us all in the one place at the one time. It was scary for me. But it was good. It was so good to be around people that I love, who think the same as me, who talk the same as me. I could just be comfortable with them. I could be myself. I knew that I was loved. But I actually felt that when I came back to the house last week. I was only gone for 1 week. But when I came here last week, I knew how much I needed this house. I just confess to you right now, I am prone to wander. Does anyone know that song? I am prone to wander. If I'm not in the house, if I'm not with you, the things of the world get pretty attractive pretty quick. And I used to get pretty down on myself and think that was because of a lack of my relationship with God or something, or it was a lack of my faith. It's not actually about that. It's the way God designed it to be. He never designed us to be alone. He designed us to be in a family. And I need you. Because I am prone to wonder. I need to be in the house. The minute that I walked in last week and we started to worship, it was just like, thank you, God, that you've got hold of me. Can you say that today? Thank God that he's got hold of you. Sometimes we think we are holding on so tight to God for grim death, we're not going to let go. And that's true. But the truth of it is, he's got hold of you. And he's never going to let you go. We sang a song last week. The worship in the house has been so great. And last week we sang a song during worship. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. Do you remember that song? Jesus, Lamb of God. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. I was so challenged by that song last week. Do I treasure you, Lord? Do I really treasure you? I wrote that down in my journal. And it was a challenge for me. It led me to look at Matthew 13, 44 to 45 during the week. Let's read this together. It's one of the parables of Jesus. It's just a small, he's put these two together. He's talking, he's been out talking to the crowd and teaching them in parables. And then there's a change of scenery. They leave the crowd and they go into the house. It actually says that in verse 36. Then leaving the crowds outside, Jesus went into the house and his disciples said. So we're now in a different atmosphere. We're in a different place. It's a different feel. It's intimate. It's Jesus and the disciples. The crowds have been left behind and now Jesus is in the house with those who are closest to him. And they're going to have an intimate conversation. And that's the setting that Jesus chooses to share these two parables about the kingdom. I've heard a lot about the kingdom this morning. A lot about the kingdom. Okay, verse 44, New Living Translation. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that a man discovered hidden in a field. In his excitement, he hid it again and sold everything he owned to get enough money to buy the field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant on the lookout for choice pearls. When he discovered a pearl of great value, he sold everything he owned and bought it. These are the two verses that I just want to have a brief look at this morning. Jesus didn't tell parables to make everything clear. He told them to provoke your imagination, to invite people to see what God was doing from a new perspective. The parables of Jesus were not illustrations making difficult things clear to all. They presented God's message so that the spiritually sensitive could understand. But the hardened would merely hear a story without heaping up additional condemnation or rejecting God's word. And we know that, it says that in back in chapter 13, in verse, 13, Jesus says, that is why I use these parables, for look, for they look, but they don't really see. They hear, but they don't really listen or understand. And this fulfills the prophecy of Isaiah that says, when you hear what I say, you will understand. When you see what I do, you will not understand. When you see what I do, you will not comprehend. For the hearts of these people are hardened. We heard about posture and position this morning. And Jesus speaks parables so that those who have a soft heart can receive the message, and those who have a hard heart don't hear it or understand it. For their heart, the hearts of these people are hardened, and their ears cannot hear, and they have closed their eyes, so their eyes cannot see, and their ears cannot hear, and their hearts cannot understand, and they cannot turn to me and let me heal them. But this is for you this morning, church, here in Mombok, on the 22nd of October 2023. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. I tell the truth. Many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see, but they didn't see it. And they long to hear what you hear, but they didn't hear it. And then Jesus goes on to explain. I want to say to you this morning, church, if you want it, here's the invitation. If you want it, it's available for you. If your heart is soft to the Lord, it's available for you today. So remember, we're in an intimate setting. Jesus is speaking to those who have said they'll follow him. I want you to picture yourself in that room right now. That's us. We've decided to follow Jesus. We are his disciples. We call ourselves followers, disciples of Jesus. We're in that intimate room. We're following Jesus. We're close to him. But he's about to call us up higher, church. The theme of all of the parables that Jesus talks about, especially in Matthew, are of the kingdom. The theme is the kingdom. Jesus came to save that which was lost. We know that, Luke 19:10. And yes, that talks about our salvation. Jesus came to die, to pay the price for your sin. You couldn't buy the kingdom. You can't buy the kingdom. He paid that price. And you are now in right standing with the Father. And that's what he came to do, to restore us to the Father. But it wasn't just about that. He came also to establish the kingdom. He came to establish the kingdom of heaven on earth, just as it is in heaven. Let it be on earth. What is the plan for establishing the kingdom of heaven on earth? It's you. You are the plan. It's me. I'm the plan. It's the church. It's his bride. Jesus loves the church. There's a lot of deconstructing of the church around these days. Makes me so sad. Is the church perfect? No, because it's full of you and it's full of me. We're people being sanctified on a journey to become transformed to be more like Jesus. But Jesus loves his church. He came to die, and he's coming back for his beautiful church. How is the kingdom of heaven going to come to earth? It's through you and me. So Jesus challenged me last week about this. I was singing that song last Sunday. Jesus, you are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. I was challenged, but I wasn't condemned. And I don't want you to be condemned today. I'm not here to condemn you. I'm here to challenge you. And my goal is not to condemn, but if you feel anything as I speak this morning, know it's the Holy Spirit prompting you to examine yourself and to take the opportunity to put things in order. That's the other invitation we've been given today. We've been hearing so much about the signs of the times, and I think we can all agree where we're at. And that word prepare, prepare, prepare. If we believe what Jesus said, we will be in preparation for that. I heard a great podcast this week. I encourage you to go and listen to it. It's from Numa Church. I can give you the details later. But their guest speaker was talking about the fact that if someone says, if I invite Melissa over for dinner this week and Melissa says to me, yes, she's going to come for dinner, that's awesome. So Melissa's coming for dinner on Wednesday night. I'm going to start getting ready for that, because she said, Melissa's trustworthy. She's never lied to me before. I've no reason to believe she's not going to come. So if you come to my house on a Monday and I'm cleaning up and you say to me, why are you cleaning up? I'm cleaning up because Melissa's coming for dinner. And then on Tuesday, I'm going to go out and I'm going to buy some groceries, because I don't have any in my house because I don't cook. And I'm going to prepare because Melissa said she's coming for dinner, so I need to have some food. I take her at her word. I believe she's coming for dinner. I don't spend Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday thinking, oh, do you think she really will come? I'm not sure if she'll come. Maybe should I go? I take her at her word. She's trustworthy. I believe she's going to come. I prepare. And Jesus is saying that to us today, church. Do we take him at his word about the things he said in your life? Because your faith will manifest in preparation. You will be busy. I know that's a dirty word, busy and work, but we better be busy doing the work that the Lord's asked us to do. Can you agree with that? Can we take Jesus at his word, church? Can we be preparing for the things that he has spoken over us? Jason mentioned that this morning. The prophecies that have been spoken over this house, they're not just going to fall out of the sky while we sit here in the pews waiting. Right? The words that God's spoken over your own personal life. God has spoken words over my life. I get them out and I look at them and I read them and I pray about them. But even that's, they're not going to fall out of heaven and just hit me. God's told me about preaching the word. Then I better be busy preparing for that and doing something about it. What's God spoken to you? And are you preparing? Are you taking him at his word? The challenge that I got last week was about the fact, is there anything that I put before the Lord in my life, that's what I treasure? I was singing those words, Jesus, you are the treasure that I seek, and it really hit me, is that true? Let me say it another way. When I continually worry, I'm not treasuring Jesus. Because what did he say? Don't worry. So when I continually worry about my life, I am not treasuring Jesus. And that grieves my heart. It would grieve all of you, I think, knowing you, if you realized that some of your actions and some of your words were not very treasuring of Jesus. Again, not a condemning word, but allow the Holy Spirit to challenge you. When I don't love the bride of Christ, I'm not treasuring Jesus. When I know that the Lord has asked me to do something and I don't do it, I am not treasuring Jesus. When I seek the opinion of others before I ask the Lord, when I get on the phone instead of going to the throne first, I am not treasuring Jesus. When I make decisions in my life without praying and seeking the Lord about it, when I make a decision and then ask him to bless it after I've made the decision, I am not treasuring Jesus. When I think that I can do things my own way, on my own terms, in my own time, I'm not treasuring Jesus. When I won't forgive and release a wrong that's been done to me, I'm not treasuring Jesus. When I'm double-minded, I'm not treasuring Jesus. When I ignore or put off the call to the secret place, I'm not treasuring Jesus. There is a cost to following Jesus. And that's what this parable for me is about. It was very interesting as I studied this parable this week, because I know what I believe it's about, but there's some varying opinions. Apparently, I think if you get a whole bunch of pastors in one room, they'd probably be a bit divided. And some would say that the treasure, you know, we can't buy the kingdom and we are the treasure. We are the treasure that Jesus came for. And you know what? I think that that's right as well. Jesus actually said to me last week, and this surprised me, I was also thinking during that time, my delight, I want my delight to be in you, Lord. Lord, my delight is in you. And Jesus said to me, no, Karen, my delight is in you. And he wants to say that to you today, church. All his delight is in you. That's what the Father says to you today. My God, how, Father, how can that be true? And he says, because Jesus is in you and Jesus is my delight. So when I look around this room today, the Father would say to each and every one of you, all my delight is in you. And it's not about who you are, but Jesus is in you and he is the Father's delight. So all his delight is in you. I believe that this parable is about the kingdom of heaven, and it says the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that a man discovered. The kingdom of heaven is a treasure that is worth everything that you've got. It is worth pursuing. It is worth going after. It is worth having in your life, finding out what the kingdom means, finding out what the kingdom is, and having it in your life and pursuing it with everything that you have. Philippians 3:8, Paul understood this. He said, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. He understood the treasure of the kingdom. He found the kingdom. And this is, Paul actually fits really well into this parable, because there's two types of people in this parable. There's ones that find the kingdom by accident. Like the guy's just working in the field. He comes across the treasure. He wasn't looking for it. He found it by accident. And some people come into the kingdom like that. Others search for it like the merchant searching for a pearl. Either way, there's two different ways, two different people that find the kingdom. You might be searching for the kingdom. God will open that for you today. But Paul, the kingdom just found him. As he was, I always thought there was a horse. I don't know why I thought that Paul was riding on his horse. It must have been something I was taught in Sunday school, and that he got knocked off his high horse, but it actually doesn't say that in the Bible. It doesn't say anything about Paul being knocked off his high horse, but sounds good. I like the idea. The kingdom found Paul, right? And he says, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus as my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as rubbish, so that I could gain Christ and become one with him. That's what it means to seek the kingdom. To know that everything else in your life is all the things we strive and strain and worry over and fret over and wait, we work for and we buy and we take care of. It means nothing if we don't have Jesus. I heard someone say this week that in 100 years' time, all of us sitting in this room won't be here, right, in 100 years' time. And all the things that you've worked for and all the things that you've loved will be gone and no one will care about. And it's really sad to think about, but it's true. I think about that in my own life. I thought about that when Charlie died. I can relate to that. Things that he cared about. And I'm not saying that that's wrong. Hear my heart. Things that he cared about and treasured, his fishing stuff that he loved and spent hours with and cherished. And I know some of you can relate to what I'm saying. We've got to have our priorities right. It's the kingdom of God. That's the treasure. Matthew 19:27, Peter said to Jesus, "We've given up everything to follow you. What will we get?" Good on you, Peter. Let's have a look what Jesus says. Matthew 19:27. Peter said to him, to Jesus, "We've given up everything to follow you. What will we get?" And Jesus replied, "I assure you that when the world is made new and the Son of Man sits upon his glorious throne, you who have been my followers will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has given up houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or property for my sake will receive 100 times as much in return and will inherit eternal life." It's worth everything that you have. Church, blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. We know the end is near. We can read the season that we're in, and I believe that the Lord is calling up us up higher. It's time to examine our life and see where our treasure is. Do you treasure the Lord? Do you treasure the kingdom? And please don't just sit here and say, "Yes, of course I do." Really ask the Holy Spirit, because church, we don't have time anymore to be treasuring anything else. We don't have time to be entangled with the things of the world, to get caught up in the things of the world. And who knows, the world is loud now. We need to treasure the kingdom above all else. Do your actions back up your words? That's my challenge to you today. I believe that the Lord is calling us higher. He's wanting to get our attention. He's wanting to get our focus singular. Single focus. You all know that I wear reading glasses. And this week I put my glasses on and I was like, "What the is going on?" One of the lenses had fallen out. So I only had one lens in and I was trying to, it's not working. God wants us to be focused. Eyes like flint. For the joy. Jesus came to the cross for the joy set before him. And he wants us to seek the kingdom for the joy that's before us. It's with joy that we go after the kingdom. Yay! Someone's joyful. It's for joy that we go after the kingdom of God. You are the plan, I am the plan. Pam, can you come? I've asked Pam to play that song that we sang last week, and there are going to be words up there, but And you know, that was a simple message today, a one-point message. But I believe God's calling us higher, church. It's about the kingdom. Get focused, get single-minded, treasure Jesus above all else. Allow the Holy Spirit to look in your life. Is there anything that you are treasuring? You may not look at it. Sometimes our situations and our hard places, believe it or not, become a treasure. It sounds like an opposite. But if we're focusing more on our hard place, on our difficulty, on our circumstance, then we're not treasuring Jesus. And Jesus, we can't have any idols, church. It's time for all the idols to go. And sometimes idols come incognito. In disguise. And I believe that the Father is asking us today to be single-minded, to be focused on Him and make the kingdom and Him our treasure. We're going to sing that song. And I know, Lord, my heart's cry is that this would be a house. Me, my house, but this house, this body, your bride. That this house in Mombok, Lord, be a house that treasures you, that we would treasure your presence, that we would make room for your presence, that we would treasure your word, that we would hold your word up like a star in the dark places to shine your light, that we would treasure and value each other, your bride. That we would treasure your kingdom and that we would give everything we have to pursue it and to bring heaven to earth. Bless you, Lord. Pam, to just keep playing for a little while if you want to worship, if you need prayer, but you're released to go if you need to go. But please just, yeah, respond to the Holy Spirit today, because it is up to us, church. As Hannah said this morning, if we want the same as what we have now, we can keep doing the same thing. But if we want all that God has laid out for us as a body, if we want those prophecies that have been spoken over this house to come to fruition, we need to do something different. We need to prepare and value and treasure Jesus. Bless you, church. Come for prayer.
Thanks for listening. And please check out our website or come and visit us at Mombole Christian Fellowship.